two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
A full hour of coverage of tonight's semifinal showdown. This is KSL's Unrivaled.
The Jazz Clippers semifinals.
Here's Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Wow, fancy intro and everything. Let's hope the Jazz can get fancy tonight. Down in L.A., Game 4, the Jazz, of course, getting beat up in Game 3. I'm just going to forget about all that. And, yes, normally Scott Mitchell would be with me. He is still in the plane on the way back from meeting his first grandbaby. So Tom Hackett, KSLSports.com fame, will be joining me this evening. Tom, thanks for showing up tonight, man. It's been a fun afternoon. Show prepping, wink. A little bit of show prep, a little bit of just prep, a little bit of life talk. I mean, listen. This is how we get it going. The Jazz have a game down in L.A. tonight. And I don't feel one bit good about this one.
You don't?
Because of how Game 3 went. No, absolutely not.
I think the opposite to you. I think Quinn Snyder, as talented of a coach as he is, and with the skill set the Jazz have, I know Mike Conley's not going to be available, and we'll get to that in a minute, but I think they rebound. And I don't know if I'm bold enough to say that they're going to win this game, but I certainly think it's going to be tight coming down the fourth, and they're going to be a chance. It's a two-horse race, flip the coin, and hopefully the Jazz come up on top.
Let's start the show off here, as we always do, with the cut here at 7:05, and let's listen to some Donovan Mitchell chatter. It's a 7:05 cut.
The cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer.
You look me in the eyes when you say that.
Yeah, no
Anytime
problem.
Anytime I fill in, you
no problem.
Stare at me. When
look, if people are uncomfortable about it, give them a call. Hey, Donovan Mitchell, of course, in Game 3, walked off of the court with the big ice bag on the ankle. Everybody's wondering about it. And after the game, he downplayed it. He said, nah, not a problem. I'm fine. I was trying to get in there, but we were down 21 when I was trying to go back to the scores table, and Quinn said, hey, let's go ahead and pack this one in, and let's go to Game 4. And here's Donovan talking about what the team – this is in the press conference in preparation for today's game, talking about this game and getting ready for the Clippers in Game 4.
They came out on a level that we just weren't at, you know, and they raised their level, and we got to be able to match that. And I don't think we did.
No intensity from the Jazz, Tom. I mean, I don't know how you show up. I mean, they had those two games here in Salt Lake City were such a massive improvement on the start that they had versus Memphis, where it was just like, well, this doesn't feel like a playoff series. And it was back to that feeling again. And there was that, but part of me too, that was, I don't know, I'm allowing for, you know, the all these teams make adjustments. Every time they go back and they start to make adjustments, and the adjustment they made on the Jazz was there was a little bit of poor shooting in the second half, but really, I don't think they showed us anything. They didn't break down the Jazz anywhere in particular. You just saw, I think, less of the intensity that he was talking about. They came out. Their backs were against the wall. But guess what? Their backs aren't just against the wall now. They smell blood in the water. That's what happens when you go 2-1 and you're still at home for this next game.
Sure. Let me ask you a simple question. Did you or anybody you know predict the Jazz to sweep the Clippers?
No.
Okay. No. I think broadly speaking, that's a pretty good
Most people had it like a 6-game series, and some people had the Clippers winning in 7.
Sure. And I was the same. I didn't think the Jazz were ever going to sweep the Clippers. Now, I will admit, I think game 3 was a little disconcerting in the sense that they got blown out by as much as they did, and I certainly understand that the concern going into game 4 coming off such a brutal loss a few nights ago. But at the same time, look, you go back to the first 2 games here in Salt Lake City, there were some emotional games for the Jazz players. You know, 2 big games at home. They obviously want to impress their home fans. They just got over the line. Really, in both games, they came down to the wire and the Jazz found a way to get it done. I mean, emotionally speaking, that is taking a toll mentally on a lot of these Jazz players. And there's no excuse. We're in the second round of the playoffs, and the Jazz are expected to do big things and potentially contend seriously for a championship this year. But at the same time, I think we have to relax as Jazz fans. Just it's okay. It's not the end of the world. We can go into game 4.
Well,
and tonight will tell us a lot about this Jazz team. Let's just go there.
Here's the thing, though, too. I think we all we get a little bit jealous, right? I mean, I'm a jealous Jazz fan where I look at the Suns and I go, they already locked this series out. They got Nikola Jokic so mad, the MVP of the entire league, they got him so mad
that he got
ejected. Yeah. And you go, oh, my goodness. And then they walk home. They sweep their Western Conference semis.
The scenes down in the Valley of the Sun is out of control. DeAndre Ayton is on another planet at this point.
And it's scary because there are 2 things going on. They have such swagger after you eliminate the Lakers, after you sweep your Western Conference semis, and you embarrass the MVP of the league the fashion that you did. I can't help but compare the Jazz, hold the mirror up to the Jazz and go, are they on this level? Are they able to compete? Now, L.A. is a different scene, and they've played the Clippers before down here, and it's just one of those things that I get nervous about. I wonder if you even need to win this game. My whole thing was, I said from the beginning, once they have home court advantage as the number 1 overall seed, they have to just win all their home games, Tom, which they tend to do.
Well, I know, but that's...
And if they win all their home games...
You never want it to come down to game 7, because that's a flip of the coin, home or away. I don't care who you are. We can talk about the Vivint Arena being packed for game 7. It's game 7. All of the pressure is on everybody on the floor, and it's like...
I know, but listen, I'm just telling you that game was... there were a lot of things that got me a little bit nervous. Quinn Snyder after the game talking about what the Clippers did to expose the Jazz a little bit in game 3.
You know, the Clippers really raised their level last game. You know, at the end of the first quarter, we had, an open look that we passed up and then missed a little floater, and then which could have given us the lead, and then had a breakdown defensively. I thought that was deflating. And, then I think they continued to pick up their level. And even in, late, we hung in there and hung in the game. So I thought, that was good.
We freak out, Tom. I hear Tom. I hear Quinn Snyder's voice.
He's calm.
And I relax.
Yeah, he's calm.
I immediately go, this guy's the head. This is his team that he's had. I'm just this doofus broadcaster across the street from Vivint Smart Home Arena going, hey, man. The sky's falling. The Jazz they figured out the Jazz. They cracked the code. They beat them by 20-something, and I'm out. I mean, the reality was this. I know so many Jazz fans who told me that night, they weren't going to win this game. I barely even watched. So many people were like, I didn't even watch this. I barely watched. It was a Saturday night. I knew they were probably going to lose. I was out. And I go, that's terrible. And I did the same exact thing. In the fourth quarter, I pretended like I didn't know what was going on, and I went, oh, yeah, no, this is their game. You just kind of got to throw the bone to the old Clippers here.
But it's our job to overreact.
I'm mad, but I do wonder.
But why are you mad? They lost the first game in L.A., and it was ugly, sure. But without Mike Conley, Donovan got banged up. They threw the towel in with however many minutes left, and then it just...
Here's how bad it was. We had a coworker who dropped by, wanted to know... how the game was going to go, per our view.
Yeah.
And then his leaving comment was, this is the game that George Niang redeems himself. And I was like, if that's where we're at, we're in a bad spot. We're relying on George Niang.
The minivan
is having an amazing game.
He's fueled up. He's going to the gas station.
Here's the good news, Jazz fans. Paul George will not have as decent of a game as he did.
Well, he shot the ball.
Out of his mind because he doesn't play like that against the Jazz. The Jazz know how to rattle him, and he had a decent game. And when he was throwing up the threes and you knew they were going in, they weren't just going to go in. They were going to swish.
Right.
You thought, well, if Paul George is having this type of night, the Jazz, it might not be their night. I wonder. And when I saw, and this is terrible, but when Kyrie Irving hurt his ankle over the weekend, and I don't wish any ill on that man. I do wish ill on the Nets overall as a team.
Certainly.
But all I could think was maybe that's the door opening just a little bit wider for the Jazz to be the world champs. I'm telling you,
okay,
the
all,
Nets were the biggest problem.
Don't say
Let
world
me
champs.
Dream.
Don't
I can do
say
it.
World
that's what I'm saying is that's where my level. I'm not going to raise the game expectations tonight by saying George Niang might play better. I'm saying Kyrie got hurt. We have a chance to win this thing. Don't let off the gas.
Here's the optimism all Jazz fans need. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are coming off two games where they both played 38 minutes.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, no, seriously. That's a lot of basketball in one night.
If Donovan's on that bike working out on the sidelines, working that ankle out, I'm gonna be very, very annoyed. All right, we're going to take the break. More to go. We'll come back. Ben Anderson, KSLSports.com, Jazz beat writer. He's going to give us his insights live from L.A. Stay with us right here on KSL.
They came out on a level that we just weren't at, you know, and they raised their level, and we got to be able to match that. And I don't think we did.
Donovan Mitchell saying they didn't match the intensity of the Los Angeles Clippers in Game 3. They want to try to do it, of course, tonight. All eyes on whether or not that ankle is totally dialed up for Donovan Mitchell. Of course, Mike Conley out for Game 4 as it was released today. The Jazz listed him as questionable yesterday. Announced that he was out for Game 4 tonight. Joining us right now on the line from KSLSports.com, he's Ben Anderson, of course. And Ben, live in L.A., covering this game. What's the difference, Ben, in in Game 3, what was the real thing that was, in your mind, just the biggest difference maker for the Clippers to be able to not just win, but to beat the Jazz pretty handily?
Honestly, as simple as it may sound, it might have just been being at home and being in their own gym and shooting in their own gym. As you look at the shooting percentages from the first couple of games, they averaged like 37.5% from three, which is a really good number, don't get me wrong. But they shot 42% for the year, and then they go back to L.A., and they shoot over 50% from three in that first game. They hit, 19 of 36. So yeah. I do think part of it was just, kind of the sight lines, being back in the comfort of their own gym. The crowd isn't, some crazy crowd that's giving them a huge boost, but that's certainly not going against them. It's a much lower pressure situation. So I think a lot of it had to be just being in the comfort of their home. And it never looked like the Jazz really took them out of being comfortable, which is what I think you heard Donovan Mitchell kind of say there at the beginning of the segment.
Good day, Benny. Tom here. Good to hear your voice. Hey, I have to assume that the Jazz are expecting Kawhi Leonard to play his role, but poor George shot the lights out. Is he gonna do that tonight again? Or do you reckon he maybe cools off a bit as expected?
I think you're going to have a hard time slowing down Paul George and Kawhi Leonard just because they are all stars and they're guys who have done this at a high level. And they've particularly done in games that they've really had to win. Now, this game technically tonight probably isn't a must-win for the Clippers after they won Game 3. They can go down 3-1 and still come back and win a series. As difficult as that is, you don't have to win this game. So generally, their numbers haven't been as good in those situations. But I think the guy who you really got to worry about is Reggie Jackson, the guard for the Clippers, who's just been so good over the last two games. He had 29 points in Game 2. He had 17 points in Game 3, but shot 5 of 6 from the three-point line. You just can't let their third guy go off. I don't think the Jazz can match that right now when they don't have Mike Conley. So If the Jazz let Reggie Jackson continue to be kind of the thorn in their side, as well as both Kawhi and Paul George going off, the Jazz are going to have a hard night. So I think that's what you've got to keep an eye on. It can't be three guys. You can do two guys, that's fine. That's what every team's going to do. You just can't have that third star explode.
We were looking today, too. After Game 3, as soon as the game was over, or at least was, as soon as the horn sounded, Donovan was way wrapped up with the ice and limping to the locker room. He said, "I'm fine, no big deal, some tightness. I wasn't going to go back in the game because it was in hand. I was about to check back in, but I didn't." So What are the chances that he is still 100% right now? And can we rely on the fact that he, I mean, so much is already going to be on his shoulders with Mike Conley out again?
No, I mean, he's not 100%, and I don't think he'll be 100% the rest of the year. That ankle was just so badly sprained. And, you know, I think all of us assumed, I know I certainly did, that, okay, the Jazz are being extra cautious over the last 16 games of the regular season, and they're not going to bring him back. You know, they're going to let him get fully to 100%, plus a little bit of extra rest to bring him back. And then he didn't play game one against Memphis, and you realize, oh, this is a real injury. You know, this injury is worse than just, hey, this is an opportunity to give a guy extra rest. So as soon as that happened, I started to get a little bit concerned. And then you saw basically every game since then, he's just not had a full 48 minutes where he's not, you know, fallen hard to the ground, limped at some point, walked back to the locker room. In fact, I think he may have gone back to the locker room in every game so far. You know, taking a while to get up off the ground once he does fall. There's just enough examples now of him clearly actually being hurt that I'm not waiting for him to be 100%, but he hasn't been at all in the playoffs, and he's still averaging whatever 32.5 points per game. He's just been absurd. So as long as he continues to play at this level, look, he can play better if he wasn't hurt, but it's not like that's the reason Jazz are losing games. Certainly missing Mike Conley is a bigger deal, not getting bigger performances from guys like Bojan Bogdanovic or anybody on the bench in this last game. Those were bigger issues for right now.
Crazy. Sorry, the Jazz have obviously gone crazy this season about shooting the three ball, but how important is it to get more points in the paint against the Clippers tonight? I have to think Quinn Snyder was pretty upset with how that went in game three.
Yeah, I think the hard part for the Jazz is they just weren't getting into the paint at all at the start of the first quarter. And look, you can hit threes, and you want to hit threes, and that's great. And that ideally should in turn flip and kind of open up the paint. And it did a little bit in the second half. But you need to get Rudy Gobert some easy dunks, some easy baskets, so Donovan Mitchell doesn't have to hit these dagger threes over and over. Jordan Clarkson doesn't have to dribble into these threes. Or you have to create these shots by dribbling around. It would be really nice if you could get a couple of those dump-off passes or lobs to guys to get easy baskets or layups at the rim, because that does get everyone kind of in a flow. And the Jazz just haven't had that against this Clippers small lineup. They didn't do it in game one. They didn't do it in game three. They keep kind of throwing different looks at the Jazz that they said they haven't seen before or haven't seen in a long time, and it just takes a little while to get worked out. The good news is, as series go on, there's fewer secrets. There's fewer things you can unleash and adjust to on somebody, and you're just kind of seeing everything. So ideally, the Jazz stop seeing new things. It was the zone in game two, and it was the small lineup in game one, and again in game three. Ideally, those things should get better, but with that, you need to see the results, and those results include getting easy baskets, scoring more from two, where they were outscored by, I think, 28 points in game three inside the three-point line. That's a lot of somewhat easy looks to give up to lose a game.
Ben Anderson, KSLSports.com. He's live there in Los Angeles. Tip-off of the Jazz and Clippers in game four. I'd probably say over a half hour. It says 8, but it's always about 8:11, 8:14, you know, kind of in that time frame. So as Ben gets ready here, what do we know about Mike Conley's injury? Anything other than just that they keep listing him at questionable? When you talk about the Donovan injury being a lot more than we thought it was, this seems to be the same with this injury. Obviously, if he was able to go even remotely, or are they still just trying to say, hey, we are a better team than the Clippers without Mike Conley, and so we want to get him better?
I don't think that's the case. I mean, I think the Jazz, certainly, if they could have him back, even if he wasn't at 100%, they would bring him back. But, you know, the hamstring is something he's going to keep re-injuring. They thought they fixed it the first time in February, and they didn't. And they thought they fixed it, you know, in April, and then they didn't. And then, you know, he got hurt again in the playoffs. It keeps being something that he keeps re-aggravating. So I'm not expecting that to get back to 100% either at this point in the season. So I think they would like to bring him back to the point where they feel like, hey, this is the best gamble we can make, that he can make a stretch run. And even if he, you know, re-hurts it, he'll at least get you far enough into the playoffs before that happens that it was worth it. And look, they're not expecting him to go down to the ship again at some point. I mean, I think they are hoping that he can come back and be fully healthy the rest of the way. But it's just hard. It's a hard gamble. And I think they're just kind of playing this waiting game of how long until the tightness doesn't show up immediately, that you feel like you can play him for 20 minutes or 25 minutes. And that's just going to be a touch-and-go situation for the Jazz. Now, the first time he missed games, he missed 2 weeks. He's coming up on that mark on Wednesday. The second time he missed, or it was a little more than that, was like 17 or 18 days, so that would be maybe by game six in this series if they decide to go that long. So history tells us, even with this injury, he's come back. He said this one was less severe than the first two, but, you know, hamstrings are weird. We remember them with Carlos Boozer. We've seen it with James Harden. You just never know when they're going to be ready to go.
If we're going to take one thing away from this interview, Ben, it's hamstrings are weird. That's really the big takeaway is How does this game win? Last question. How do you game plan? What's the actual game plan for the Jazz to crack the code tonight and maybe come back up 3-1 back to Salt Lake City for game five?
Yeah, I think going back to what Tom asked, I think about getting into the paint, I think putting pressure on this Clippers defense to not be able to just run off of missed threes, because when you miss threes, that ball does bounce long, which starts easy baskets going the other direction. And then you got to hope that Kawhi Leonard doesn't go off again like he did. He was just unbelievable inside the paint. I think he was 8 of 12 inside the three-point line. That's just, you know, that's too many easy baskets. Maybe it was even 10 of 12. He was just fabulous. And if he does that, they're going to be really hard to beat.
Ben Anderson, we're going to let you to it down in Los Angeles. Staples Center is going to be where it is tonight. The Jazz and Clippers, game four. Thanks for hanging out tonight, Ben.
Thanks, guys.
All right, have fun with the coverage. As we get going here, man, I'm feeling more and more optimistic as the evening goes on.
Oh, calm down, Kerry. you take things too seriously. It's just a
this
game.
Is the only thing I
have,
Tom.
They're up 2-1.
The only thing I have.
Hey, we ran out of time. I wanted to ask him, what do you reckon the environment's like in Staples Center?
Well, he said it's something that I've talked to him about too. Is he goes, I mean, they have a few thousand fans.
Yeah,
I think
it's limited. Right?
I think it's 6,500, and then they have a bunch of cardboard cutouts. It's not insignificant though. It's not enough to the fact to
you
the point where
you
go.
You think it plays a
role? I think it's fine. I think that they're like, hey, this is kind of nice. Like this is definitely a nice home crowd, and LA keeps adding more and more people. So I don't think that it's a, you know, come here and it's just everybody's bursting out at the seams at Vivint Smart Home Arena,
right,
and it's a ghost town at Staples Arena. It's not. I think it's you have a good number of fans who are making some good noise there. I think it's funny they're still going with the cardboard cutouts. Like,
I love it.
That's so mid 2020. Like, let's figure it out.
It is kind of depressing, isn't it? Because we watched a lot of sport with cardboard cutouts. We're like, get it out of here.
All right, we'll come back. We got more to go. Rudy Gobert. Garnering some more attention with another little alley-oop award that he got today on the all-defensive team. We'll talk about that and much more here as we get going. Is Donovan Mitchell really okay? We'll come right back and talk about that. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
Seven:30 at KSL News Radio. I'm Jason Tulin. KSL's top stories this hour. Doctors in Utah are already seeing more patients coming into hospitals with heat-related illnesses, and the triple-digit heat in the forecast has them warning everyone to look for the warning signs. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has more.
Doctors say very real issues happen when people push themselves and ignore the warning signs of heat-related illnesses, like fatigue or nausea. And when they do, they have more severe problems like cramps that last for hours. Doctors say the lungs like to have the temperature just right, so warm air is fine, but hot air feels suffocating.
Plus, the high levels of ozone will be a real issue for people with lung problems, including people who have recovered from COVID-19. A woman was shot and killed after asking a man to put on a mask in a Georgia supermarket. ABC's Dave Packer reports.
A female cashier dead and a sheriff's deputy injured after a dispute about wearing a mask. It happened at Big Bear Supermarket in Georgia's DeKalb County. Police say an argument broke out between the cashier and the man. A witness saying that man struck the woman with a gun and then shot her. A part-time deputy working security at the store then reportedly engaging the suspect, all taken to the hospital where the cashier died of her injuries. Dave Packer, ABC News.
A major theme park says fully vaccinated people can take off their masks.
California's reopening on Tuesday is also the first day that out-of-state guests are allowed to visit Disneyland. And beginning Tuesday, people who are fully vaccinated will not be required to wear a face covering in the park. Disney, which is the parent company of ABC News, says it will not require proof of vaccination, but the people who are not fully vaccinated should continue to wear masks. Reservations are still required to enter the park.
ABC's Brian Clark reporting. Let's talk about the heat. That's next. KSL News Time, 7:32.
This is Derek Miller of the Salt Lake Chamber with your Utah Business Report. The Salt Lake Chamber has announced that Catherine and the late Robert Garf will be honored with the 42nd Giant in Our City Award. The award recognizes those with exceptional and distinguished service, as well as extraordinary professional achievement, and is widely known as the most prestigious business award given in Utah. Utahns know the Garf name and the family's success in the business community. However, some may be less familiar with their rich legacy in our state of community service and charitable contributions that have blessed countless lives through the years. For decades, Kathy and Bob Garf have been passionately dedicated to educational efforts and programs geared toward helping Utah students succeed. For more information, visit the Salt Lake Chamber website. The Salt Lake Chamber. We stand as the voice of business.
Deseret Media Companies, a proud member of the Salt Lake Chamber.
Tim and Amanda here letting you know that June is a great time to buy a Honda, especially right now when they're offering top dollar for your trades. But if you're looking for a new vehicle at any of their seven dealerships from Logan to Orem, make sure and take that HRV for a test drive. And I say thank you to Brandon Wilson at Ken Garf Honda downtown. This HRV seats five comfortably, but it has something they call a magic seat in the back that is configurable to many things, even accommodating items up to 8 feet long. And if you're looking for entertainment on the road, it comes with a 7-inch display audio screen.
Now, I own a Honda Accord, but I've had a chance to drive the big one, the Pilot, and my thanks to Scott at Larry H. Miller Honda in Murray for that. The Pilot seats eight easily, and it's got the heated and ventilated front seats. We need those ventilated front seats. It's got the hands-free power tailgate and this cool PA system where you can talk from the front driver's seat all the way to the people in the back.
And don't forget, your trade-in has never been worth more. The more you compare, the more you know. It's time to buy a Honda from your Utah Honda dealers.
Hi, break time?
I know you.
I'm Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. It seems like you take care of yourself.
I do. I play tennis. I try to eat well.
What about screening for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. Colon cancer is more treatable when it's caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and is used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive result should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit requestcologuard.com.
I'm on it.
Excellent.
Big news for everyone who enjoys smart, insightful discussion of the news.
The KSL family has expanded.
Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson is now on from 1 to 3.
Just ask Alexa or any smart speaker.
Playing KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together here at KSL News Radio. And traffic's looking pretty good out there. We do have a fire affecting roadway out there by Kennecott. There's a brush fire, grass fire out there. Has the right lane closed. It's about 201 at about 100... and 3rd West. We do have a crash northbound I-15 at 6600 South. That's just affecting the left shoulder. So we're looking okay out there. Incredible savings on Bernina sewing machines at Dave's Bernina in Provo and St. George during their summer sale through June 15th, featuring 60 months no interest on certain models. KSL weather, it's hot, hot, hot. Breaking records again tomorrow. 104 expected, and lots of sunshine. 72 overnight, and then going to cool down a little. Set 98 on Wednesday, 97, and some clouds on Thursday. It is 101 and partly cloudy at KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM, 1160 AM, and KSLNewsRadio.com. This is Utah's all-day companion for news.
A full hour of coverage of tonight's semifinal showdown. This is KSL's Unrivaled. The Jazz Clippers Semifinals. Here's Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
That's right. Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Carey, Scott Mitchell in the air, getting back to Salt Lake City after welcoming his newest grandbaby into the world. And we're super excited for him. He'll be back tomorrow night.
What goes through your head?
What's up?
Well, when you have your first grandbaby. What do you reckon he's thinking about? Like,
oh, he said no. He's like beyond excited.
Okay, good.
No, I mean like
because I'm worried if I get to that point, no, I'm just out be there. Frightened.
No.
Like, I'm that old.
He's
like,
not
this
that
is
guy.
Where I'm at now.
No, he's not that guy at all.
Okay, good.
He's 100% like I can't wait. I'm gonna be there. And he went out to North Carolina where his daughter and her husband live. And then boom, there you go.
He's on his way back.
New baby. And yeah, sent pictures and everything. So we're really excited for him. He'll be back tomorrow. Tom Hackett is the voice you hear on the other side of this. And we're all in the studio together. We're all feeling good. across the street, people filing in for the Jazz watch party.
It's really cool. I always forget they do this.
Yeah, it's
in the
great.
Playoffs. It's awesome. There's quite a few people trickling into the Viv this evening.
I'm asking for some score predictions. 575-00 is the text number. You can weigh in, give us your thoughts. I want a score prediction, and I want the X factor. So give me the score. Give me the X factor. I'll give you an example. Boyd Matheson, host of Inside Sources.
Good friend.
Here we go. 112-104 Jazz, but not because George Niang has a good game, though I hope he does. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you got to hang your hat on George Niang, we're in a bad place. Readjust your sights. We got to figure our lives out.
No offense intended, of course, to the minivan. We love that minivan.
We don't want to go, hey, man, if that eighth man shows up, we're going to be okay.
Hey, if you want to shoot a text.
What's Mi Ione doing tonight? I want to see if he has a game, then we're going to be all right.
If you want to add to the text reasons why Kiri needs to calm down about the game,
yeah,
feel
help me
free
out.
Too. Hey, how you feeling?
No, I've been calmed down all night. Like I said, I've got people talking me off the ledge. I got Boyd going, we're going to be all right.
We were prepping the show, and you were in all sorts.
I'm
struggling.
Because I am one of those guys that goes, oh, my gosh. And I'm not saying it's over. What I'm saying is there's that part of you that goes, oh, boy, 132-106, they figured us out. We're frauds. It's that imposter syndrome.
No.
Look, it's like when you go, there's no way we shouldn't have been in this place. We're not the best team in the NBA.
Here's the way I think about it, this game in particular. I think, okay, I do think the Clippers probably are the more likely team to win, given the fact that Mike Conley's out.
Tonight.
Given the fact that Mike Conley's out and Donovan may be a little banged up, as Ben said, he's certainly not going to be 100%, which is scary. But at the same time, if the Jazz can find a way to win this game, it's over. The series is done. What, 3-1? You're going to say that the Clippers are going to come back?
I'm not saying they're going to come back, but they did it before. But I will say,
it's a win.
Coming back to Salt Lake, 3-1 would be devastating for them because the Jazz would have.
Oh, it's over at that
point. The Jazz would have three games. Although we told ourselves that last year, didn't we? 3-1 up to the Nuggets, and we go, well, they got three games to win one.
I didn't feel good when I said that.
Oh, just now you had a little shiver of not feeling good about.
Well, I don't like saying the series is over when it's not.
Right.
You know, 3-1. I feel bad because I feel like I put the jinx on them.
Right. 575-00 is the text number. You can weigh in. Oh, a couple nice numbers here. Again, people giving a lot of points to the Jazz. 121-111. A little double-digit win down in L.A. That'd be nice.
No. That's not happening.
Donovan Mitchell, 32 points. He had 30 the other night. He could have easily had 40, but Quinn didn't let him go back in the game. They would have been garbage points at the end.
Is he a superstar?
Absolutely. If you've not been...
Without question?
He is definitely...
That is a legitimate question.
He is definitely like the 1B best player in this whole series. Kawhi Leonard hasn't had... I mean, Kawhi Leonard is the number one superstar in this series. Donovan Mitchell is actually, in those first two games, showing him up, obviously. Game three, it went the other way, but... Last year, he started to become a superstar. The only way he can get to superstar status this year is to at least get to the finals. You have to be in an NBA finals for the rest of the world to see.
I think in America we put way too much of an emphasis on stat lines. And I think if you look at Donovan Mitchell's stats, I think you could easily make a case that he's a superstar caliber player. But if you just watch the Utah Jazz play with Donovan Mitchell on the floor, without question, almost every single night, with a few exceptions, he's the best player on the floor.
I think he's a superstar personally. I do too, and I think that he was already there. And the problem is that asking someone to be sort of donned that superstar status in this market just takes longer. The application goes; it takes a lot longer to go through and be approved.
Of course,
in the NBA for the NBA, powers that be to officially don you a to kind of coin you a superstar. But we all watch it, and every time you watch these games on TV, what do all the announcers do? They go, "This guy is insane." And I was listening today to national pundits who are going, "Nobody can guard him, but you just have to kind of figure it out." Even Kawhi. He'll get by you. I mean, he just has a way of getting to everybody who's on the floor.
Here's the kicker for me when it comes to, I think at times late in games, he can become a little too one-dimensional and it's too easy for opposing teams to shut the Jazz down because they know Donovan Mitchell's going to have the ball in his hands and he's probably not going to give it up. And it's kind of similar to what's happening from a team standpoint at the minute when you watch the Jazz play specifically in Game 3. They were throwing up way too many threes and weren't finding enough points in the paint like we talked to Ben about. So it's fascinating. There are a lot of storylines.
Keep them rolling in. Ooh, Jazz 108, Clippers 114. Look,
that's a safe call.
I mean, look, I think that they're the Vegas favorites, right? I mean, they're four and a half point favorites going into this one. Jazz up by two, 110, 112. Gobert will play as he did in game one of the series, as will Slow Mo Joe.
Was game one the block? I get the
Which
game one.
Which block? I mean, because
the Rudy Gobert block at the end of the game that won.
Oh, yeah. That was game one. No, that was game one.
Rudy was not good game one up until that point.
He was okay.
Oh, he was okay.
I will tell you, the block of that game was Derek Favors sending it into the bleachers.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That was the one that everybody really... Jazz 110, Clippers 106, another prediction here. And they also include Joe and Rudy right here. It says, X-Factor is Joe. He needs a fantastic fill-in for Mike. Get Rudy at the rim. I'll say that Rudy, I can't stand when he tries to bring that ball below his waist. He just shows how... not strong he is compared to some of these guys who he's up against. Keep that ball above your head. Put that thing straight in, fella. I want Rudy with 18 points, 18 rebounds tonight. That's my prediction. Gobert with at least 18 and 18.
Oh, my word.
I mean, he had 20 rebounds the other night.
You know what I thought's fascinating in this series? I think Bogdanović defensively has been interesting. Yeah, Bogey. I think it was game two. They threw him on a Kawhi and Paul George, and he actually did reasonably well.
He
was really quite good. And then, but he hadn't really shown that the rest of the year. And then they tried to do the same thing game three, and you know it didn't really work out for him. So it'd be interesting to see how Quinn handles that this evening. Who do they put on? Because obviously you've got Royce O'Neal is going to take one of the two, and then it's kind of pick your poison, I guess. Who do you throw on? Do you throw Joe on Paul like you have in the past? Or does Bogey get a run? What about Donovan? Does he? His ankle might not be ready. It's going to be fascinating, Kerry. I'm looking forward to it.
My son calls Slow Mo Joe, a.k.a. Joe Ingles. He calls him Homeless Joe sometimes. He looks a little disheveled, doesn't he?
I'm sorry, Joe.
Hey, look. Cooper's got a sense of humor. All right. We'll take the break here. Keep your text rolling in. Jazz predictions. Our MVPs are next, including something that you... likely have never seen in a golf match. Stay right here with us. More to go. Tom Hackett filling in for Scott Mitchell. We're taking your Jazz Clippers predictions game four as people stream into Vivint Smart Home Arena to watch it on the big screen across the street live from L.A. So we'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
I've gotten to the point where I just...
A full hour of coverage of tonight's semifinal showdown. This is KSL's Unrivaled.
The Jazz Clippers semifinals.
Here's Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
That's right. Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Carey, Scott Mitchell in the air, getting back to Salt Lake City after welcoming his newest grandbaby into the world. And we're super excited for him. He'll be back tomorrow night.
What goes through your head?
What's up?
Well, when you have your first grandbaby. What do you reckon he's thinking about? Like,
oh, he's like beyond excited.
Okay, good.
No, I mean like,
because I'm worried if I get to that point, I'm just gonna be frightened.
No.
Like, I'm that old.
He's not that guy. No, he's not that guy at all.
Okay, good.
He's 100% like, I can't wait. I'm gonna be there. And he went out to North Carolina where his daughter and her husband live. And then boom, there you go.
He's on his way back.
New baby. And sent pictures and everything. So we're really excited for him. He'll be back tomorrow. Tom Hackett is the voice you hear on the other side of this. And we're all in the studio together. We're all feeling good. Across the street, people filing in for the Jazz watch party.
It's really cool. I always forget they do this.
Yeah, it's
in the
great.
Playoffs. It's awesome. There's quite a few people trickling into the Viv this evening.
I'm asking for some score predictions. 57500 is the text number. You can weigh in, give us your thoughts. I want a score prediction, and I want the X factor. So give me the score. Give me the X factor. I'll give you an example. Boyd Matheson. Host of Inside Sources.
Good friend.
Here we go. 112-104 Jazz, but not because George Niang has a good game, though I hope he does. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you got to hang your hat on George Niang, we're in a bad place. Readjust your sights. We got to figure our lives out.
No offense intended, of course, to the minivan. We love that minivan.
We don't want to go, hey, man, if that eighth man shows up, we're going to be okay.
Hey, if you want to shoot a text.
What's Mia Ione doing tonight? I want to see. If he has a game, then we're going to be all right.
If you want to add to the text reasons why Kiri needs to calm down about the game,
yeah,
feel free
out.
To. Hey, how you feeling?
No, I've been calmed down all night. Like I said, I've got people talking me off the ledge. I got Boyd going, we're going to be all right.
We were prepping the show, and you were in all sorts.
because I'm
struggling.
Because I am one of those guys that goes, oh, my gosh. And I'm not saying it's over. What I'm saying is there's that part of you that goes, oh, boy, 132-106, they figured us out. We're frauds. It's that imposter syndrome.
No.
Look, it's like where you go, there's no way we shouldn't have been in this place. We're not the best team in the NBA.
Here's the way I think about it, this game in particular. I think, okay, I do think the Clippers probably are the more likely team to win, given the fact that Mike Conley's out.
Given
the fact that Mike Conley's out and Donovan may be a little banged up, as Ben said, he's certainly not going to be 100%, which is scary. But at the same time, if the Jazz can find a way to win this game, it's over. The series is done. What, 3-1? You're going to say that the Clippers are going to come back?
I'm not saying they're going to come back, but they did it before. But I will say,
it's a win.
Coming back to Salt Lake, 3-1 would be devastating for them because the Jazz would have.
Oh, it's over at that
point. The Jazz would have three games. Although we told ourselves that last year, didn't we? 3-1 up to the Nuggets, and we go, well, they got three games to win one.
I didn't feel good when I said that.
Oh, just now you had a little shiver of not feeling good about.
I don't like saying the series is over when it's not.
Right.
You know, 3-1. I feel bad because I feel like I put the jinx on them.
Right. 575-00 is the text number you can weigh in. Oh, a couple nice numbers here. Again, people giving a lot of points to the Jets. 121-111. A little double-digit win down in L.A. That'd be nice.
No. That's not happening.
Donovan Mitchell, 32 points. He had 30 the other night. He could have easily had 40, but Quinn didn't let him go back in the game. They would have been garbage points at the end.
Is he a superstar?
Absolutely. If you've not been...
Without question?
He is definitely...
That is a legitimate question.
He is definitely like the 1B best player in this whole series. Kawhi Leonard hasn't had... I mean, Kawhi Leonard is the number one superstar in this series. Donovan Mitchell is actually, in those first two games, showing him up, obviously. Game three, it went the other way, but... Last year, he started to become a superstar. The only way he can get to superstar status this year is to at least get to the finals. You have to be in an NBA finals for the rest of the world to see you.
I think in America, we put way too much of an emphasis on stat lines. And I think if you look at Donovan Mitchell's stats, I think you could easily make a case that he's a superstar caliber player. But if you just watch the Utah Jazz play with Donovan Mitchell on the floor... Without question, almost every single night, with a few exceptions, he's the best player on the floor.
I think he's a superstar, personally. I do too, and I think that he was already there. And the problem is that asking someone to be donned that superstar status in this market just takes longer. The application goes. It takes a lot longer to go through and be approved.
Of course,
in the NBA for the NBA, powers that be to officially don you a to kind of coin you a superstar. But we all watch it, and every time you watch these games on TV, what do all the announcers do? They go, "This guy is insane. And I was listening today to national pundits who are going, "Nobody can guard him, but you just have to kind of figure it out." Even Kawhi. He'll get by you. I mean, he just has a way of getting to everybody who's on the floor.
Here's the kicker for me when it comes to, I think at times late in games, he can become a little too one-dimensional and it's too easy for opposing teams to shut the Jazz down because they know Donovan Mitchell's going to have the ball in his hands and he's probably not going to give it up. And it's kind of similar to what's happening from a team standpoint at the minute when you watch the Jazz play specifically in Game 3. They were throwing up way too many threes and weren't finding enough points in the paint like we talked to Ben about. So it's fascinating. There are a lot of storylines.
Keep them rolling in. Ooh, Jazz 108, Clippers 114. Look,
that's a safe call.
I mean, look, I think that they're the Vegas favorites, right? I mean, they're four and a half point favorites going into this one. Jazz up by 2, 110-112. Gobert will play as he did in game one of the series, as will Slow Mo Joe.
Was game one the block? I get the game
Which
one.
Block? I mean, because
the Rudy Gobert block at the end of the game that won.
Oh, yeah. That was game one. No, that was game one.
Rudy was not good game one up until that point.
He was okay.
Oh, he was okay.
I will tell you, the block of that game was Derek Favors sending it into the bleachers.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That was the one that everybody really... Jazz 110, Clippers 106, another prediction here. And they also include Joe and Rudy right here. It says, X Factor is Joe. He needs a fantastic fill-in for Mike. Get Rudy at the rim. I'll say that Rudy, I can't stand when he tries to bring that ball below his waist. He just shows how not strong he is compared to some of these guys who he's up against. Keep that ball above your head. Put that thing straight in, fella. I want Rudy with 18 points, 18 rebounds tonight. That's my prediction. Gobert with at least 18 and 18.
Oh, my word.
I mean, he had 20 rebounds the other night.
You know what I thought's fascinating in this series? I think Bogdanović defensively has been interesting. Yeah, Bogey. I think it was game two. They threw him on a Kawhi and Paul George, and he actually did reasonably well.
He
was really quite good. And then, but he hadn't really shown that the rest of the year. And then they tried to do the same thing game three, and you know it didn't really work out for him. So it'd be interesting to see how Quinn handles that this evening. Who do they put on? Because obviously you've got Royce O'Neal is going to take one of the two, and then it's kind of pick your poison, I guess. Who do you throw on? Do you throw Joe on Paul like you have in the past? Or does Bogey get a run? What about Donovan? Does he? His ankle might not be ready. It's going to be fascinating, Kerry. I'm looking forward to it.
My son calls Slow-Mo Joe, a.k.a. Joe Ingles. He calls him Homeless Joe sometimes. He looks a little disheveled, doesn't he?
I'm sorry, Joe.
Hey, look, Cooper's got a sense of humor. All right, we'll take the break here. Keep your text rolling in. Jazz predictions. Our MVPs are next, including something that you likely have never seen in a golf match. Stay right here with us. More to go. Tom Hackett filling in for Scott Mitchell. We're taking your Jazz Clippers predictions game four as people stream into Vivint Smart Home Arena to watch it on the big screen across the street live from L.A. So we'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. He'll be back tomorrow. I bet I could see Scott actually being like, oh, yeah, flight was delayed, man. And I'd be like, oh, really? But he's just at home watching the game. You know what I mean? Do you think that may actually be the case?
I think he likes hanging out with you a lot, Kerry.
No, we have fun. Yeah. And here's the thing. We're still watching the game, but it's just while we're talking on the radio. So
it's kind of a good gig. Somebody's got to do it.
I know. It's been a tough adjustment for him. He had to put pants on to come back in the building, which I think, you know, sacrifices, right? That's all I said. Oh, COVID, man. You know when people walk up
the
and they
people
go,
need me.
And they go, oh, well, you know what we've been through this past year with. I'm like waiting to say, what are you going to say? You know, we've gone through this last year with what?
No pants.
And they just go, I know, COVID, we know. You don't have to say it. Oh, what have we gone through this year? I don't know. Has something happened? Come on. Scott, you could still wear pants, even though COVID was a situation. You can still wear pants. So
maybe shorts. It is hot.
Team's back together. Now, listen. Stay safe out there.
Yeah, it's 104 tomorrow.
It's still, I mean, we're approaching 8:00 p.m. here, and it's still above 100.
That's wild.
So, yeah. But I will say, you know, when we get shocked when it's mid-June and it's 100, I can't believe it's 100. It's hot in the summertime. Can you believe it? Every year we do this? I can't. Now, I will say, obviously, the drought situation is worse than it is.
Well, that's what's
than
scary.
It's been in a long, long, long time. That's the one you. But when people, it's like when people go, dude, the bathroom stinks. I go, well, you know what happens in there, right? It's like you're just stating things that are obvious. Like, yes, it's hot. It's June. It's mid-June in Utah. It's hot. It happens. Yeah, but I get nervous about. I think what we think too is they go, it's going to be 120, man. In August, it's going to be 120. Obviously, because we're already doing 100 in June. All right. The MVPs. We have them to roll out here. Now, I don't know, Tom, do you have
I do. Yeah.
And I'm still taking your text at 57500, your Jazz predictions. They warm my heart because most people have the Jazz winning this thing. And I feel good about it. Game 4 in LA tonight. No Mike Conley
Kerry,
again.
Kerry, you continue to amaze me.
Why?
Did you really think when you put the text line out to the people and you
I knew
the
what was going
to
happen.
That they were going to say the Clippers were going to win.
Well, there's some people who are the naysayers who are mad
Very
about
few.
It.
That's
and
a minority.
But see, I do it so that I can feel better about myself.
No, I like that.
I go, good. Oh, good. Most of the people. In the imperfect poll that we just took, you know, this is like a statistician's worst nightmare where I go, oh, well, I took a poll. And it's not scientific, but the Jazz are going to win. According, 99 out of 105 people are said that the Jazz are going to win. So obviously that's
going to happen. It's not what they think's going to happen. It's what they want to happen.
Yes, and I'm okay with that. Anyway, you can send your text of your prediction. I want two things. The score, 57500. Give me the score of the Jazz game tonight. And then tell me the X factor of the game. What's going to happen? 57500. Tom, kick it off here with the MVPs here on our signature 750 segment here.
I'm going to go with, I'm sure many, many people saw this, and it's a very sad story, but there is a hero involved. His name's Simon Kjær, and I hope I pronounced that right. He's the Denmark captain. Right now there's Euros going on, European Championships. It's a big soccer thing, and it's a big deal in most parts of the
world. We were talking about this before the show. It's probably the second most important international
soccer tournament.
Tournament in the world, behind the World Cup.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly from an international standpoint, Champions League is right up there too. But nonetheless, a player on Denmark suffered cardiac arrest in like the 43rd minute. 29-year-old Christian Eriksen. It was out of this world. They had to perform CPR. It was incredibly traumatic. The captain of that team is a hero. So essentially, Simon Kjær, before the medics were able to get there, he secured Eriksen's neck, cleared the airwaves. He actually started CPR, and they think he saved his life.
Captain before the trainers rolled up.
Well, it's interesting because like I am always like, how would I react in a similar situation?
Well, because you don't think it's gonna happen, so you.
But you never
know.
It
would, take, it would like, take a minute for your brain to like go.
You never know how you react.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And he reacted like instantaneously. He was onto it. He then went over to Eriksen's wife, consoled with her, calmed her down, and. Fortunately, Eriksen's in a stable condition at a local hospital out there in Copenhagen, and he's doing okay.
We've seen it end very differently.
They still don't know why he suffered cardiac arrest, so hopefully they can figure that out. But anyway, the captain of the Denmark national soccer team is my MVP because what he did over the weekend is pretty cool.
Well, you think about, I mean, there's these guys are incredibly fit.
Well, it makes no sense.
It's
yeah.
like when you hear about a marathoner, it's like, well, he did 78 marathons this year, and... You know, sometimes these guys will drop dead in these races, and they just have an arrhythmia of some sort. They just have an episode of some sort.
Yeah. 29-year-old
this happened.
Eriksen. It was his 66th game, and I can't quite tell you since when, but it must have been since late last year when they kind of got back into the swing of things. It was scary. If you haven't seen the video, I wouldn't recommend it.
I was gonna say my kid wanted to see it yesterday. I said, we're going to just go ahead and not watch it.
Yeah, it's traumatic.
Because it's wild. I mean,
it's real life.
He looks dead, and they said they'd lost him.
Yeah, they said he was gone.
They said he was gone, and it was crazy. It was wild. All right, good MVP.
Thank you.
The team captain rolling up and saving – that's a team captain situation.
Oh, that is a
no one asks the
leader.
Team, no one says that in the meeting. They're like, and you'll possibly have to save a couple of your teammates' lives by applying first aid as soon as you get to the scene of them. Yeah. Collapsing on the field.
So. I don't think it matters what he does with his soccer career from here on out. He'll be praised for this very.
Quite a hero. The good thing is, yeah, like you said, do you start up a career if they figure out? Oh, it was this wild thing that happened. Do you just stop soccer? I feel like there's some guys who are like, well, I don't want it to happen again.
He's 29, so he's been playing for nearly a decade. He's made millions and millions and millions.
Oh, he has. So
yeah, he's like a big player. He's a big time player.
All right. Jazz 112, Suns. Oh, my goodness. We don't have this guy in our pot. Oh, this is a bad omen. Suns, they're not playing the Suns.
Don't go you down that road.
Actually, you know what they're doing here? They're talking about game one of the next series. Oh.
They're smarter than we
I
think.
Like this. I really like this. Suns, of course, already moved on. So I will accept this then. They say Jazz 112, the Suns 108. I'm assuming that's going to be in game one of the Western Conference Finals. I'm asking
Mike
about tonight's
Conley
game.
Will be back by then.
Yeah.
So that explains everything.
Chaz says 122 to 110, but doesn't say who.
Oh, you'd have to
you know what?
Chaz.
I bet it's not Chaz. This person's just texting in 122 to 110, Jazz. They probably did the voice to text thing.
Oh, right.
I don't think we have Chaz.
It's Siri's fault.
I don't think Chaz, the listener. Come on,
it's
Alex.
Monday, guys.
Put two
it's
and two
Monday.
Together.
It's Monday.
Doofus. All right. 122-110. Thanks, Chaz. Appreciate it. All right, my MVP actually goes to, and I don't know, this could go either way of the anti-MVP, which is the they so poo-poo, but I'm going to go, okay. This is on the Corn Ferry Tour, all right? If you're not familiar with the Korn Ferry Tour, it's the dumbest name for a golf tour ever, but it is the second tier of PGA golf in the country. So you have the PGA Tour itself, and then you have the Korn Ferry Tour, which is basically the AAA.
Well, it's like the G League.
Yes.
Or whatever they call it.
AAA affiliate of the PGA Tour. So these guys are all on the cusp of becoming, you know, PGA Tour guys. They're all pros.
They make no money.
Yeah, it's very little. It's very little money compared to what they're making in the PGA. But, so you can imagine, you know, trying to play for this thing and get involved in this is a big deal. When I saw this headline, golfer arrested after fight during Korn Ferry Tour on Monday in Monday qualifier. Here's what happened today.
This happened today.
Yes, I'm going to roll this out right now. Okay, here's what happened. Now, this was, according to this report, Austin Daly was playing in a group with Luke Smith. Luke Smith's dad, who we will just call Mr. Smith, is caddying for him. Now, they felt like Austin Daly was playing slow. And he hit an errant shot to the left, and it went off the fairway. And they didn't help him look for his ball, which I think was customary for a lot of people. They go, hey, we'll look for your ball because in the interest of time, we got to get going here. Plus the sportsmanship thing, etc. But they did not help him look for the ball. When he got to the green, they're like, you're playing so slow right now. He goes, well, you guys could have helped me look for my ball. It took a while to find it. And then the dad said, maybe if you could hit it straight.
Ouch.
And it was on.
Ouch.
Then they start yelling back and forth.
On
the green. At one point, Daly says, by the way, they have two other players in their group who are just watching this whole thing unfold. I'm assuming with popcorn. So they're watching
and
this
camera.
Thing. Yes. They're watching this thing going. And he jumps on. Austin Daly gets his back jumped on by Luke Smith. Luke Smith jumps Austin Daly and, according to the report, begins punching him. When the other players approached him to stop the fight, the dad, Mr. Smith, as previously discussed, used a putter to shoo them.
A weapon.
To not stop the fight. Like a full-on, like, let my boy beat up this kid. You know, like, insane. So the MVP goes to these guys trying to stop the fight. The anti-MVP goes to this guy's dad, who's his caddy, and wanted him to fight it out on the green.
That's unbelievable.
Insane. We got to take the break here. We'll come back. Hour number two. Hey, the Jazz and the Clippers going to tip off here in the next 14 minutes or so. Within that window, we'll come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unraveling, KSL News Radio.
The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery. Tom Hackett filling in for Scott Mitchell, who will be back tomorrow. Scott has a new grandbaby, and he was able to meet that grandbaby and congratulate his daughter, so we're very excited for him. Jazz Clippers tipping off in Los Angeles here in mere moments as they're starting to wrap up game four here of this Eastern Conference semifinal matchup between the Atlanta Hawks and the Philadelphia 76ers, which right now has Atlanta up 101-98. They were down by as much as 15 in the second half. 49 seconds left, and Trae Young was just fouled by, they might have given the foul not to Joel Embiid. It might have been to somebody else. But either way, Trae Young looks like he's going to the line here with 49 seconds left. And, yeah.
Three-point lead.
Yeah. John Morant just tweeted out, Trae, make sure everybody eats it. So he's, you know, it's kind of this, oh, no, they didn't. He made the free throws. No, he made the free throws already.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, so they're up three right now.
They keep Joel going Embiid, back to Joel.
Joel Embiid is having a tough go here at this in this one. Give him the free throws. I don't care. Fine.
Well, it's like the third straight possession they fed the big boy.
Yeah, he's missing it, and he's getting fouled. Whatever. 40 seconds left in that one, and as that one wraps up, then the Jazz and the Clippers are going to take off for game four down in Los Angeles. The question is, how healthy is Donovan Mitchell? We'll see, obviously, right off the bat if that ankle is 100%. We heard from Ben Anderson last hour, who's down in L.A. He goes, I don't think it's going to be 100% the rest of the playoffs, but you just hope you can get really, really serviceable. I mean, obviously, he didn't look like he was, stopped in any way in the first three games of the series.
Right.
And just shooting the lights out, even in that loss last week on Saturday night. So I don't know what it's going to end up being, but I do think that Mike Conley's absence will start wearing down. And the sooner you can get him back, the more of a shot you're going to have. Who fills in for Mike Conley tonight? Who's going to be missing again? I mean, obviously, Joe Ingles is the guy who's going to go in and get the shot. But the question is, really, which version of Joe are we going to get? That first half Joe against the Clippers in Game 3, or maybe that 19-point Joe in Game 2? very, very that's what you're hoping out of him. But really, the defense is the thing that's going to matter tonight. How can the Jazz figure out this Clippers attack who scored 132 on them on Saturday? So looking forward to that and watching this one. I don't know if – I mean, I keep toggling back and forth, and I've been asking for people to text in at 575-0 their predictions.
Has Chaz come back and redeemed himself?
But they did clarify it was a Siri thing.
Okay,
it was Siri. Yeah.
I thought it might have been.
So 110, 112, or 122-110 Jazz, according to Chaz.
You think Siri's hard? You should listen to me try and order something through a fast...
Is there no Australian...
just driving through fast food. My wife has to order it. They're like, you want cheeseburgers? I'm like, no, I want 10-piece chicken nuggets.
Yeah, I think you like that. They don't understand me. I'm a foreigner. I think you like to say that and go. You couldn't even understand me going through the drive-thru. Tom Hackett. All right, listen.
I made you like Cockney.
I'm like, I'm Tom Hackett.
Yeah, you make me sound way cooler than I am. Going back to the injury thing quickly, I reckon. I think Ben hit the nail on the head. I don't think Donovan's going to be 100% the rest of the way. In fact, I don't think he has been 100% the entire time.
They just give him the old cortisol shot and let him go?
No, I just think he's at 90%, and it'll take the off season for him to recover, and then at the start of the season he'll come back 100%, but if he takes another... And I think every player that's played the majority of the year up until this point has something going on.
Well,
from playing college football, and I know college football's a lot
more... They're always hurt. They're always hurt.
Everybody, except for me, was always hurt.
You're so tough, dude. You were so tough. Did you ever have an injury as a punter?
I bruised my big right toe, and I tweaked my quad.
Was it listed on the injury report?
I don't know if they... Carl Whittingham does not believe in injury reports. Are you kidding?
All right. Michael says 121-117 Jazz in OT. Oh, do I make my heart stop like that and make me go into overtime tonight?
Wow.
Could be interesting. So here's the deal. I'm going to break away a little bit from this Jazz coverage for just a second here as we get into some rivalry talk. And it's not the rivalry you're necessarily thinking of, but here's where we're going to go. Yes, it's a little late, but it's the 805 cut.
The cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Clint Capella can't handle a pass underneath the hoop, and now the turnover has made it. With 16 seconds left, Philadelphia's got the ball down 1 point.
Does Atlanta foul?
Exciting stuff. No, you don't foul. No, with only one, with a 1 point lead, no, because then I think they're in the bonus and you're sending them to the line and they're going to get 2 points.
Well, if Ben Simmons is on the floor.
Foul Ben Simmons?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, maybe. All right. So I want to bring this up. Jim Harbaugh. Oh, man. Scott would have. This is a story Scott would have loved. It makes it sound like he's passed away. Oh, Scott would have loved this story. No, I will tell you why. Because he has a certain distaste for Jim Harbaugh.
Does he?
Head coach of Michigan.
Well, he's not the only one.
Well, they were contemporaries. They both played quarterback in the NFL at the same
time.
Right, okay. And so what would happen was, and this is according to Scott, they would they go to these quarterback challenges, right? And it's Dan, and it's Scott Mitchell. It's Jim Harbaugh. It's Brett Favre.
Dan Marino.
Fill in the blank with some mid-90s quarterbacks from the NFL, right? And they'd go do these quarterback challenge things, and everybody else was just messing around, having fun. They're all high-fiving each other. Drew Bledsoe's like, oh, check this out. You know, they're winging stuff. It's just fun. Jim Harbaugh would show up, and it was like he was, you know, in a military camp.
Well, he's always in fifth gear.
He is khakis with cleats on guy. Okay? That's his thing on the sideline, right? So, apparently, so he would show up, and so it just always rubs Scott the wrong way.
I get it.
Harbaugh showing up to stuff and acting like he's acting like the kid with all the answers in class, you know, kind of thing. You're like, hey, settle down. You're making us all look bad here. We're just trying to have fun. And so Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, I don't know if you know this, he's 0-5 against Ohio State. He has ruled that they will now, he has now banned anything red at Michigan. He's asked that everybody on the not just on the football team or all the other athletic teams cooperate with this, but he said there's no red allowed in any of our athletic facilities, and I hope the rest of the school, you can't even drink red Gatorade in here, because his hatred of Ohio State has been on full display now, as he is 0-5 against Ohio State during his time coaching. You can't get this petty when you haven't won a game. The move you have to do is go, is act like it's just a lot of fun. Like, oh, man, they keep getting us, man. We're going to get them. We're going to get them this year.
Well, it's the same problem, in my opinion, that BYU have had when it comes to the Utah rivalry. And I love Kalani Sitake, and I'm all for him. And one of these days, I'm adamant that BYU are eventually going to beat Utah. But for so many years there, specifically when I was playing, it just felt like the Media Day, right, coming up this summer and in just a few weeks, all they would talk about when I was around was this Utah game. And I felt as though, as a Utah player at the time, they were doing themselves a disservice. This is the same thing.
I don't think you can be petty when you've lost five in a row. In BYU's case, nine in a row, I think, right? Something I think like this that. Is going to be the 10th. The real problem with losing this one this time around, I don't think they play again until 2024. So you're talking about a 15-year streak of never seeing BYU beat Utah if they can't win this one. Next year, too. They have a chance to win one next year. So win these last two. Let my kids see BYU beat Utah at some point during their young lives.
But just stop talking about it. If you're a BYU fan, player, or coach, just stop. Only putting
Hey, can we talk about it?
I think we can.
Yeah.
You're only putting more pressure on yourself.
All right. Let's take the break here. Hey, Ben Simmons turned the ball over. I love to say that. He turned the ball over.
My countryman.
The fakest Australian I've ever met, Ben Simmons. He doesn't even have a Tom Hackett accent. You can't pass as an Aussie. My heavens. All right, let's take the break here. We'll come back. We've got more to go. An article that Tom wrote up for KSLSports.com. We're going to throw that one some cheese, and we're gonna talk about it. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Jazz tipping off in just a few moments here down in L.A. versus the Clippers in Game 4. Stay with us. Unrivaled Alex Keery and Tom Hackett filling in for Scott Mitchell as the Jazz and the Clippers have just tipped off. Jazz wearing, the all-yellow unis. Not really their strongest uniform choice, but they're up 2-0. So there's your score update, Tom. They're up 2-0. Now, they were up 8-0, I think, before the Clippers started to score in the last game.
Right.
So let's see how this thing rolls out as Kawhi and company are trying to get the Jazz here to go to 2-2. Which, by the way, the Atlanta Hawks have sent the series with the Clippers. Oh, sorry, not with the Clippers, with the 76ers to 2-2. Trae Young and company escape with a Game 4 win. 2-2 in the series with that one. All right, in the meantime, Tom, you wrote up an article for KSLSports.com. Will you roll out what this is? Because I want to make sure anytime that you come on, we get a little bit of Utah football, some perspective here. And they've got this, Scott, you're very much on the same page, I think, as Scott Mitchell is, where he thinks that not only are they better than people think they are, they're going to contend for a Pac-12 championship. And in his mind, Charlie Brewer is going to be the Pac-12 offensive player of the year. He's already thrown it out there that Charlie Brewer will be the offensive.
He's thrown it out there.
That's how impressed he's been with Charlie Brewer. Now, there are a lot of other players in the Pac-12, and there are a lot of other players who've already played in the Pac-12, and he's not one of them. I just want some perspective as to how they, if the quarterback thing is figured out, is that just as much as they need to do to be able to be contenders for the Pac-12 championship?
In my opinion, the short answer to that is yes. Now, here's the kicker. I haven't seen Charlie Brewer outside of the spring game because Utah football hasn't allowed media members to attend practices.
Right.
So you have to take everything with a grain of salt, but everything coming out of the program is that Charlie Brewer is the real deal. Going into full camp, Cam Rising will be healthy, and they'll claim it's a quarterback battle. And I like Cam, and I respect Cam, but I just don't think it's actually going to be a quarterback battle. I think Charlie Brewer has won the job already, and I'm not the only one that thinks that.
Yeah.
Now, the problem, and this is just my opinion, and I think there are Utah fans out there that agree with me, and I also think there are other Utah fans that are oblivious to all of this, but I don't think Kyle Whittingham and the Utah football coaching staff has handled the quarterback position very well over the years. I think they've struggled to maintain a healthy relationship between quarterback and head coach / offensive coordinator. So the premise of this story and the conversation myself and Steve Bartle had on our latest episode of the It's Utah's World podcast was, is this the year that Kyle Whittingham lets the quarterback throw the football with confidence? And I don't know the answer to that. I'm hoping that this is the year. Because I'm a firm believer that Kyle Whittingham has learned from mistakes over the years. And I hope that he can just give free rein. If Charlie Brewer throws an interception in the opening couple games of the season, I hope the next play that Charlie Brewer takes under center or in the gun is a passing play. Because I think these small and slight messages are important in the grand scheme of things. And over the years, it
has... What messages are you talking about?
I'm talking about...
Like, we're a passing team now, that kind of thing, or we're going to be aggressive on the offensive side of things? Is that what you're saying? What's the message you want sent with Charlie Brewer in the backfield?
Well, the message is I had the chance to sit down and chat with Andy, with Aaron Roderick, I should say, BYU's offensive coordinator. Uh-huh. Zach Wilson threw a pick early in last year's season. Kalani on the headset, this is what A-Rod told me, Kalani on the headset said, when we come back, the next offensive series, throw the football on the first down. Because it sends a message to not only Zach, but the rest of the offense.
Right.
Hey, we're okay. You can make mistakes. Mistakes are always going to be a part of this game. They're inevitable. But we back you and we trust you to win football games at the end of the day. And I hope that similar message is sent this year when it comes to Charlie Brewer. I hope if he makes a mistake, it's not the end of the world. We don't need to go back to running the football 2 out of 3 downs. If Charlie Brewer is as good as they claim he is, and all they've done about Charlie Brewer is praise the man, then give him free reign of the offense and let him unleash his true talents. And if they can do that, they will contend, and I will back them to win the Pac-12.
Weren't these the promises last year, though?
Kyle Whittingham in the past has come out and said, I don't have anything to do with the offense. And it's not true.
Right.
It's just not true.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I it's not. I call a spade a spade. He's on the headset. He sees the game much like us. He has a better view. He's down on the sideline. He has the headset on. And when things go poorly, he goes back into his shell and he likes to run the football. And I hope this year that isn't the case. If you can throw the football and you have the quarterback to do so, then throw it. Run the football when you need to. And when it's timely and it makes sense. But if you're throwing the football effectively, I hope he throws the football effectively. And he continues to trust his quarterback and his offensive coordinator to do so.
Well, fans were sorely disappointed in Jake Bentley, obviously, when things were what they were last year. I mean, that was the deal, is that Cam Rising ended up, I don't know, I mean, Cam Rising, I guess, won the job.
Well, he tore his labrum in his shoulder in the end.
I know, but I'm just saying that, like, remember when they came in, they go, well, he's at 7,800 yards passing in the SEC. He's a great quarterback. Then he loses the gig to Cam Rising, who, by the way, now what do you do with Cam Rising? Now what do you do with these guys? You just say, hey, Cam, we're just going to sit you out another year if it ends up being
when was the last time a Utah football quarterback started the season and ended the season?
I mean, I get it. I'm just saying, all things considered, if he does end up being healthy and that's your guy, Cam Rising, who was supposed to be your guy, has to wait another year,
sure.
Which I guess that's how it happens. I guess that's,
the nature of the beast.
Yeah, I mean, on the flip side, you have BYU's situation where I really don't think that people don't know exactly who it's going to be at quarterback. People don't know who the quarterback is going to be, and that's not a good thing either, because the whisperings of Charlie Brewer have it being amazing and kind of having a wink and a nod to he's probably earned the gig already is wild, because down at BYU it's like it's split. I've seen a lot of people say Jaren Hall. I've seen a lot of people say Baylor Romney.
A-Rod told me the other day he likes all three of his guys, which shouldn't surprise anybody because he's the offensive coordinator. He's not going to talk poorly
about
them.
Jacob Conover, also the third guy, right?
I think if the freshman plays, and I think that's the Jacob kid you just mentioned, I think they're in trouble. Regardless of how talented he is, he's a freshman.
Then it means the other guys really haven't showed their stuff, right?
I actually really think Jaren Hall's a good play, just can't stay healthy, which is a problem.
Yeah. Ah, man. Jazz down already 10-2. What are we supposed to do about this? I was supposed to be, yeah, I know it's early. I was supposed to feel good about myself, though. I was waiting for, I mean, the Jazz were up. It's a 10-0 run here.
The Jazz were up 8-0 in the last game, lost by 30 points. What are you worried about?
It's a great point. I just get nervous about a game like this but part of what we see already right now, the Jazz have zero energy. They already have 3 turnovers. And their passes are kind of lazy. They're getting picked off.
Yeah, there's very little fluidity to the way they're throwing the ball around. And normally, that's their bread and butter.
What are we doing? I wonder what the fans across the street of Vivint are sitting there thinking.
Well, they've gone straight to the concessions.
Watching it on the big screen and enjoying their concessions.
I need a pretzel earlier than I thought.
I know. That's what I was going to say. Like, that's when you go, anyway, it was going to be nachos in the second quarter. I'm going to make it an order of two right now. That's exactly where you go as the Jazz have already started out 1-for-4 shooting overall in the game. As Donovan Mitchell finally puts one in, and it's 10-4 for the Jazz. Before we lock out on this topic of Utah football, I want to know exactly where Kyle Whittingham. Not exactly, because we'll not. I don't think we'll know. Do you think he goes the full length of his contract?
No.
Or is this, how far does he go then?
I think he's 62 right now. I've always said 65, and I think he's done. But if he can win the Pac-12 championship game and potentially play in the playoff or a Rose Bowl, even if they lose that year in the Rose Bowl, I think he calls it a career.
But does the new college football playoff possibility of that changing in the next 2 or 3 years, does that lengthen his life to go, hey, we could get in the college football playoff every other year now that it's 12 teams?
Well, no, because that's so much easier said than done. What are they thinking about, 12 teams?
Yeah, it's like very likely it's going to end up being 12 teams.
Utah's finished in the top 12.
It would have been 2019, they would have been there.
Once, since he's taken over in the Pac-12. I mean, come on, it just doesn't happen very often. Top 12 teams in the country are very, very good. And with the turnover that college football coaches have to face year in and year out, that's hard to do.
Jazz down 10, 16-6 right here in the first quarter. Paul George has already hit a couple big shots. That's not good if he's getting started early. 575-00 is the text number. We'll take the break. News, traffic, and weather right now. We'll come back. More to go. NFL Roundup is next. Our 2-minute drill, plus Jazz scoring update. Stay with us. Unrivaled. Yes, the Jazz have started up against the Clippers, and not looking good so far.
Your tone of voice needs to change.
Oh, you want an attitude change for me?
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe the Jazz. We start with an attitude change from the Jazz, who are down 23-10. With 3 minutes left in the first quarter, 10 points with 3 minutes left in the first quarter. You know what that equates to? It's not just bad shooting; it's really bad defense. They turn the ball over constantly. Just another turnover right into Kawhi Leonard's arms, a guy on the second all defensive team in the NBA. I mean, it's been bad.
Well, they don't look like they know.
Sloppy passes.
They don't look like they know what to do offensively. And that is a big problem.
Look, I can't offer up anything because I have no idea how to drop an offense in an NBA basketball game.
You haven't done that with your kids?
I haven't done it. But I will say, come on, step your game up. Let's go. Let's get it going. Jazz down 13 early here in the first quarter with 3.5 minutes left. Not a good start. In the meantime, yes, the NFL Roundup, as we just said. The NFL Roundup gives us a chance to ignore this Jazz score for just a few minutes. And we're going to start right off the bat here. Ezekiel Elliott, truth or lie? Tom Hackett, are you ready? Ezekiel Elliott says he's in the best shape of his life. Is he lying or is he telling the truth?
I think he's telling the truth.
This guy just came off of they had to blur his leg out on ESPN like it was nudity or a cuss word. Because of how bad the break was. They blurred it out. 8.5 months later, 10.5 months later, you're suddenly in the best shape of your life? Come on.
Do you remember when Patrick Mahomes had that knee issue and the doctors were amazed at the recovery? I think Zeke's...
It's a lot different than a double compound fracture, dude. Come on.
No, I know. I understand. I just like to believe what most people say, which is bad. I don't recommend it.
Taking advantage of quite a bit.
So you don't think he's in the best shape of his life?
It's not that, when you say the best shape of his life, you're saying that physically he is in a better spot than he was before the tib-fib compound fracture.
I think he's had a couple. I think he's had a couple years where he wished he had have done better, certainly. And I think he's probably taken that to heart.
Now, you do, if you want to come back from an injury like that, there's a lot of work. So maybe all that work...
That's what I mean.
...has equated to, him being... I have a hard time believing when somebody tells me, no, this is the best shape I've ever been in. I've never felt better. I'm always like, if you have to tell me you've never felt better, that's like what I tell people when I've just fallen on the ice and don't want to embarrass myself when I'm ice skating.
I feel good.
What happened? Did you break your back? No, I've never felt better. I'm in the best shape of my life. That's what I tell people when I'm definitely not in the best shape of my life.
Well, to be perfectly frank with everybody, I don't necessarily care if he's in the best or not best shape of his life because I'm not a big Dallas Cowboys person.
Oh, okay. But on a personal level, you just hope he gets back to 100%.
Yeah, I always hope success.
I do too. And I'm not like a Dallas Cowboys fan either. But what I am is I like players who are some of the best in the game. I like them to be at their best. Absolutely.
Speaking of running backs.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell. Did you hear about this?
Now, Le'Veon Bell, former Pittsburgh Steeler, former New York Jet, is he a former chief yet?
I don't know.
Or he's still a chief?
I don't know, but.
I don't think he's a chief anymore either. Oh, no, he's definitely not. No, he's definitely not, especially since he doesn't want to play for Andy Reid anymore. What?
He says, I would never play for. In fact, he says he'd retire.
Why?
Before playing for Andy Reid again. This is a guy. I just cannot believe the plummet he has taken.
Do you remember how good he was when he was playing for the...
He was so good, and he was so patient. Everybody could talk about was how patient he was, and then he'd hit the hole, and he'd go off. And then he went to the Jets, and the inevitable happened. He stunk it up. And then he tried to revive his career with Kansas City and rarely saw the field. In fact, he was beat out by a rookie.
So a contract dispute in 2018 may have ruined his entire career. Him sitting out and going, I'm not going to play. Instead, he played two games with the Jets at the start of last season before they cut him. And, this has definitely been a weird direction that his life has taken. Why does he have so much hate for Andy Reid, though? That's my question. I'd rather retire first. You mean then go to the Super Bowl and almost win the Super Bowl every year? What's the problem?
He was disappointed that he didn't see the field as often as he did.
You were cut earlier in the year by the Jets. I don't know why.
Oh, George's Niang's on the floor.
Don't call him George's.
George's Niang is on the floor.
It's possessive. Who's Niang? George's. Oh, okay. Just George Niang. He's the minivan. Gosh, why are they being out-defended by the Clippers? Why are the Clippers better than the Jazz right now?
It's still
23-10.
Does the success or lack thereof of the Jazz, does that impact your relationship with your wife? like if they lose this in similar fashion to they lost the other night, will you go home and...
No. We don't even... She'll be like this. Oh, what a terrible game. That was garbage. Anyway, moving on. She does, because she'll watch these games, and then she'll go, how bad are the Jazz? We stink. And then she'll move right on. It's actually a very healthy way of looking at it.
No, I'm happy to hear that that's the way.
And definitely, I don't break it down and go, yeah, but you should have seen. I mean, Boyan was really just zero effort tonight, honey. We're doing none of that. We can't do any of that.
Those are the people I like to speak to. I just can't understand.
I know.
There are so many people out there that like that.
No, I mean, half of them are engaged with us on the text line right now, 57500.
Granted, if I play a bad round of golf, I'll go home to my wife and say, you should have seen how close I was.
So I had this shot on the fourth. I'm in the sand trap. I'm digging out of the debt. Right. I could see this.
Can you see it?
And I can see, because I've had the same glazed over. I've just learned, because I've been married longer than you have, the glazed over look is not a good one. It's not that she just is.
A lot of the time it's on the ride home, on the car trip back. I call her, see how
everything's
gone.
Does she ever respond like, oh my gosh, I wish you'd had that birdie on four, man.
Well, when she does that, it's I know topic needs to be changed. That's my cue.
Because she's placating you. She's actually not that. She's sarcastically responding.
Correct.
All right.
Jazz down 18.
Oh my gosh! Why is it 28-10? My heavens! I can't. I mean, Kawhi Leonard's got 12 points in the first 5 seconds of this game, man. Jeez. Minute 27 left. Jazz down 28-13. This is one of their worst quarters of the playoffs so far.
Yeah, 13 points with a minute 26.
They did
left.
This against
My
the
word.
Clippers in Game One, though, if you'll recall. Correct. I mean, what were they down in the first quarter? I'm going to go back to the. To the box score of the Clippers Jazz game one, what's your guess on the score on that one? Because
early in the game,
the first quarter.
Yeah,
I'll give you the first quarter, because the first quarter they had something abysmal.
Yeah, I do.
And they won that game, if you recall.
I reckon they were down 12, 13 points at that point.
It was actually not as bad as I thought. Dang, I was hoping it was terrible. They were down 25-18 at the end of the first
seven
quarter.
7 points.
Yeah, but they were down 25-12, and then they had back to back threes from your guy Jordan Clarkson.
Kerry,
huh?
Can the Jazz beat the Clippers in this series without Mike Conley?
Yes. The answer is yes.
I'm going to say they can win. No.
Oh, what happened? They can win all their home games. What just happened? Well, we'll get down to the bottom of it. As man is on the floor, writhing in pain, and
a hard pick from
my guy Royce O'Neal just put man on the floor.
That's Royce saying to the rest of the league, "You should have voted me into some sort of all defensive team right there." You guys snubbed
all right,
me.
Let's we'll come back. We have our 2-minute drill to wrap the show up next. 57500 is the text number. Jazz down 30-13 with 1:22 left in that first quarter. Blah, blah, blah. The show is starting back up again. I'm in a really bad mood. It's KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Alex Keery. He is Tom Hackett, filling in for the lucky to be on vacation still Scott Mitchell, who doesn't have to watch this travesty of a first quarter between the Utah Jazz and the LA Clippers.
He's probably watching it on the plane.
If I know Scott, he's asleep somewhere in this world. Oh, my goodness. Scott will be back tomorrow. Yes, enjoying the new grandbaby, and we're excited for him. That being said, we're not excited for the Jazz, who are down at the start of the second quarter here, 30-13. Give me a couple stats here, Tom Hackett. You ready for this? The LA Clippers are 6-for-10 from three. The Jazz are 0-for-5, starting things off. That's not a good look.
No.
When you cannot pull off the pick and roll, because you do not have Mike Conley, you do not have the perimeter shooting success that you usually do.
I agree. But I think what's even more concerning is the shots that they're taking are not good looks. They're not open shots. Everything's under stress, under duress. The Clippers are playing reasonably well defensively. And the Jazz just...
The Jazz are 1-for-7 from three now. So.
They don't look like... They're very confident when they have the ball in their hands.
I don't like Mie Oni on the floor for Donovan Mitchell this early in the game. I don't know if that means that there's an injury situation. I don't know what it is, but the Jazz are down 20 with 11:38 left in the second quarter. I mean, this is just.
I mean, you're a good.
Hey, the Bucks lost by 49. I guess
you're a good LDS man. Is this the sort of time where you question whether or not some of Grandpa's cough medicine? Maybe required.
No, absolutely.
No.
I thought you were just gonna say question my faith overall, just like my willingness to have life go on, that kind of thing.
No. I wouldn't go down that road.
That's the road I'd go down before I'd start trying to get boozy.
Just one glass of cough medicine be too bad it. For me, can
it? Stop it.
Sorry.
Now listen, as Rudy Gobert misses a dunk. It's one of my favorite things to say on the radio. Oh, my goodness. You're 7
he
foot,
was fouled.
You're 7
he
foot
was
3.
Fouled.
Yeah, you're right. Good foul by Zubac, too. All right. I can't take my eyes off of this mess on the TV screen, this Jazz game. I can't take my eyes off of it, and I just want to. I'm going to be done. I'm not going to look at it the rest of the segment. 2-minute drill, here's what we do. Last part of the show, we roll out some of these great stories that we didn't get to. And they were not good enough to really be part of the program, but they are now. We're going to jam them in here. The Lakers would still be in the playoffs if AD was healthy. This is one of my favorite things. If you are worried about the Jazz at this point in the playoffs, you can at least tell yourselves at least the Lakers are not in the playoffs still.
They're in Cancun.
They're in Cancun. And LeBron James and Anthony Davis, of course, his injury to his – I think it was a quad injury or hamstring or groin – either of those. Everybody knows, this is according to Ben McLemore, who says, everybody knows things would be a lot different if AD would have stayed healthy. They would have definitely won the series against the Suns.
That is such a bad thing. You can't say that.
Well, it doesn't make any sense because you can't say it because...
the Suns are really good.
Well, not only that, they weren't even close to beating the Suns in the series. And there were a lot more problems than just AD's injury. They were just not good. I don't know. I think headlines like that just show you that Los Angeles, no one would ever say if Mike Conley was healthy, the Jazz would have won that series a week and a half after losing the series to the Clippers, if they lose the series to the Clippers. No one's going to say that. It's a dumb storyline. The Lakers, it just shows you that the Lakers get way more coverage than they deserve. And there you go, and we're adding to it. So.
That is a poor writer, worried as to what the future may hold and trying to grab anything he can. Hey, here's a cool story for you.
Yes, what do you have?
The Celtics are reportedly interested in Becky Hammond, the assistant coach under Greg Popovich at the minute in San Antonio.
If you're not familiar with who Becky is, she's been an assistant for Greg Popovich and is like basically, I mean, he has full confidence in
well, she is his first
her.
Assistant.
Yes. Yeah. So he has full confidence in her. And somebody took an ad out on a billboard there in Boston that says, "Hey, Brad," meaning Brad Stevens, the new head of things there in Boston. "It's time to shake it up. Hire Kara or Becky." Speaking of Duke's head coach, Kara Lawson. But I think that, I mean, Becky Hammond has been in the NBA coaching alongside, Greg Popovich for quite some time. So I think that she obviously has been around not just an NBA team, but how to coach. Because Greg Popovich is, I mean, again, you talk about the coaching tree of Greg Popovich, our own Utah Jazz have benefited tremendously from Quinn Snyder, who's in that same coaching tree. So I'm all for it. I mean, honestly, but here's the thing: it wouldn't be just some sort of like a charity hire. She knows what she's doing.
Correct.
Like that's the thing.
I was watching ESPN earlier today, and Adrian Wojnarowski was saying that she's getting an interview at the Trailblazers as well. They've got a vacancy there, so she's getting interviews, and I think it's only a matter of time until we see Becky as the head coach of an NBA franchise.
You know what you would see?
Awesome. I just think it's so good for society.
You know what we would see? We would see, I think, players on a roster playing for Becky Hammond would absolutely respond. It would fire up a locker room.
I agree.
I think it would make a massive.
It would motivate other women to go ahead and do the same thing.
Maybe the average lowlife who would criticize it, driving down the road, giving their two cents about it, who think it's a bad idea because she's a woman, she's never played in the NBA. Guess what? Most of these coaches who are coaching in the NBA have never played.
Right.
They're short, chubby guys from the East Coast.
Correct. Correct. I love it. I think it's awesome. I think it's well overdue, to be fair. And if it does go down, whether it's with the Celtics or the Blazers or another NBA vacancy, because there are a few of them now, I think it'll be good for the league, it'll be good for the game, and good for society.
I just think about, like, which of the Van Gundys looks like one of the Sopranos? Jeff or Stan, where you're like, oh, no, yeah, he's the picture of, like, an NBA talent. Because we like to go, oh, and by the way, former players don't necessarily turn into good coaches. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not necessarily the thing that happens. So, all right.
I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news. Jazz down 17-38.
Mm-hmm.
Does Donovan Mitchell come out of the halftime tunnel?
That is a serious
question.
Please don't do this.
It's serious.
Does he come out of the halftime tunnel?
If they're down 30 points at halftime, why would they bother risking further damage to an ankle that we already know is not 100%? It doesn't make sense.
This
down 30 points? I mean, there's very little, if any, chance they win this game.
23 currently. 40-17.
Eight minutes left.
No, I know. It's going to be bad. This is one of those. Well, like I said, the Bucks lost the other night in game two of their series against the Nets. They were down by 50 points. They lost by 49.
So here's, I think, what
and
we
they
did.
Tied the series up after that. So they were down 2-0. They tied the series up at 2 last night after losing one of the games by 49. I feel good about this. Hey, Jazz. Go ahead and lose this game by 49. I know what happens next.
Kawhi was just down. The Clippers were just down 0-2 against the Mavs. This isn't their first rodeo they've done. I think we need a change of scenery. I think we need to get back to our respective homes, find our spot on the couch, grab our popcorn.
Oh, I'm not watching the rest of this game.
No, you have to.
I'm putting my foil hat on when I get home, and I'm
I'm figuring things out with the conspiracy theorists that are out there. All right.
Well, you go down that road.
Yeah. All right.
I'll be on the couch.
Tom, thanks for hanging out tonight, man.
As always, thank you.
Had a fun time. All right. So tomorrow, you'll be able to get dialed in on Utah's Morning News. Tim and Amanda are going to tell you what the final score was of this game if you stop tuning in. And you don't want to miss tomorrow because we're going to have all the breakdown of this game four. And we're going to get you totally excited for game five because that's the only way we can do things. We can just go forward.
Scotty's back.
Yeah, Scott will be back. We'll be two games apiece if it keeps going like this. I don't know. Maybe the Jazz have a massive comeback. Only time will tell. For Tom Hackett, I'm Alex Keery. Jeremy Moss doing the producing. Alex Brown hitting the buttons on the other side of the glass. For all of them, I'm Alex Keery. We'll see you tomorrow night, everybody.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.